listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. Happy Wednesday all across Broncos country, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. Today is a special episode, folks, because we're joined by Mario Vitanzi of Well Adjusted and our good friend Patrick Chiodi, and we're going to break down a lot of things. We're going to talk about soft tissue, muscle injuries. We're going to talk about some of the training camp battles and more, because Mario is a healer. Mario, how you doing, my man? Welcome into the show.
You called it special. Anytime you have me on, I feel like it's the special edition, but I appreciate the sentiment nonetheless.
It's always great to have your insight in here, my friend, and I know that's
that makes two of you.
And Patrick, obviously, happy Wednesday, my friend. How are you today?
Man, I'm good. I'm super blessed to be here with you again, and of course, Mario. We're all rocking the hoodies. It's a solid day. Blessed. Yeah, hashtag blessed.
You guys have these water jugs. Do I need to go get one? Like, I missed a memo or something. Like, I got the hoodie memo. Y'all are both chugging water. I mean,
water and protein, bro.
Creatine.
Yeah.
Not just the water, too, but I feel like we're on the chicken and white rice combination right now, too. We're in lean season, ladies and gentlemen. And obviously here on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, we are keeping it lean. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, one of the things I want to talk about, too, with Mario is really just the work that he does. If you guys don't know, Mario does a lot of phenomenal work as a healer. He is a healer, and he will not just stick to healing, folks, but he works on a lot of Broncos players in the season, out of season, to keep their bodies in the right place, too. And obviously, you know, it goes a long ways. You've heard us talk about it here. If you got neck pain, it could be related to your rib cage. It could be a lot of these things. And Mario does a lot of work making these players adjust week to week. And that's why we are well adjusted. So Mario, obviously, I think one of the first storylines we should talk about coming out of training camp is the soft tissue muscle injuries that keep occurring with players. And it's drawn a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion across national media. What are your thoughts on this? Obviously, working with the players, they're coming in and out of practice, no offseason program for them really. And now they're just ramping things up with contact and practice. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're going to get a sense of the guys who really have a good offseason regimen. And, you know, I talked to some of the dudes during the whole COVID shutdown just to see how they were doing, making sure their bodies were feeling all right, if they were able to actually work out. And a collective sentiment that I had heard from a lot of the guys was basically, if you want to work out, you can. Like, guys who are at this level and who are at this point, who are dedicated to their craft, they're going to find ways to work out. Like, they don't necessarily need a gym like me and Pat, where we're just hammering bicep curls nonstop. You know, they're actually doing stuff that can help them be productive in the sport that they play. So it was interesting to hear that. But then you flash forward, whatever, a few months, and you see that it's not just the Broncos. It's a lot of teams that were kind of having these lingering soft tissue problems. And I think part of it is they ramped up camp really fast. Like, they didn't have OTAs to kind of knock the rust off and get into football shape. The camps were obviously a little bit shorter. I mean, for the Broncos, it felt like it was 3 months shorter, because last year's training camp lasted almost a year. There is such thing as football rust, man, and there's such thing as being in shape and being in football shape, is one of the other collective things that I've heard from a lot of the guys. And when you're ramping it up so rapidly and you're not giving guys time to kind of adjust, and we heard the stuff from Jerry Jeudy, from Melvin Gordon, like, they're still getting used to the altitude. And it might be something, you know, it's kind of a funny thing for people who live in Colorado, Pat, who don't really, they don't understand. They're like, what do you mean get used to the altitude? Like, I live here. Like, this is the place in which I exist. It's like, yeah, but you're not a professional athlete, and you're probably not really doing much with your life that would subject you to any sort of altitude sickness. And these guys are professional athletes, and it's affecting them. So there were so many variables to it, man, where it's like, it was so bizarre. And it seemed like they came in with not really any sort of cemented plan. And when you get an old school guy like Vic Fangio, he just wants to get started. So these guys are going early in the morning. I think they get there like 8 or 9 o'clock. They do a brief stretching session, and then they're full bore hitting in pads, shells, whatever it might be that day. And I got to tell you, man, from my perspective and my profession, I hate that. I think that you need to do even like a light workout. You definitely need to stretch more, do some plyos, like hit an hour and a half warm up. I would rather have the guys show up at 6:30, 7 a.m., warm up for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then start hitting, as opposed to show up 20 to 30 minute stretch and then they're going. And that's why we're seeing these minor things. And thankfully, you know, aside from Strnad, there hasn't been anything terribly serious. But at the same time, man, there's a lot. There are a lot of soft tissue things. And I will say, like, firsthand experience, the guys that I'm working on, it's not that bad. It's really not. It's not anything that's going to keep guys out for an extended period of time. But to have these things so early in the season, that's really the problem. Because the number one goal going into week one, be as healthy as possible. And when they're going about camp the way that they are, again, with the old school guy like Fangio, where you want to be calloused, which is a stupid ass term, by the way. That's not how the human body works. Like, your whole body doesn't become calloused because you're getting worked into the freaking ground. Like, no, that's just not how it works. And I'm not going to expand any more on it. But this is his mindset. It's to toughen guys up. And we saw this almost same thing last season where they had too many padded practices or they were out there for too long. And it's a reason they started 0-4. It's a reason that they were completely dead in the second half. Like, that was not ironic. Like, it was because of what they did in training camp. And then there was a reason once they got to the halfway point and every team was kind of in that same boat that, oh, they actually started leveling out and playing in the second half for the most part and, you know, competing in the games that they should have been. So, just my two cents, but I mean, guys making way more money than me are making those decisions.
And a lot of great insight from Mario early on. And Patrick and I, we're going to continue this conversation with Mario coming up here in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at rockauto.com. And I had something come up. I needed a new rim for my tire because I bought it recently. And for some reason, the previous owner, the rims were all scratched up. So I had to buy some new rims. I went to rockauto.com. And the reason I rock with rockauto.com is because they're a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. And I want you to go to rockauto.com right now to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can find whatever you're looking for your vehicle. They have everything, whether you need an engine control module for your vehicle, whether you need new brake parts, whether you need a new rim. And the thing I like most is that you can get everything that you need and just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate, and you can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle based on year, make, and model. And you can even choose the brands, the specifications, and even the price ranges that you prefer. That helps you with your budget to be able to spend money and to afford auto care. That's why rockauto.com is the best in the business. And the best part of all is the prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low, and the same for professionals and those who are doing it-yourselfers. So why should you have to spend up to twice as much for the same exact parts elsewhere? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Hey, no, Mario brings up a great point. This is what's happening kind of all around the league. We're seeing these minor injuries going on, and this is such a good point because it's not just one team. It's not just the Broncos that have had camp kind of feel rushed. It's everyone. So who knows what's going to happen once these teams actually start hitting, you know, come week one in those first 4 weeks. We could see a lot of major injuries. We could see, you know, a lot of teams in the same boat. But
at least our luck isn't as bad as the Chargers.
No, that's for sure. That's a big tragedy because I feel like, you know, a lot of us are Broncos fans, but a lot of us are still football fans. And Derwin James is one of the best young safeties in the game. And it's going
to
be a
lot of being able to watch him play.
Exactly. But I mean, that's kind of the boat that we're going to see a lot of teams in is some of these players are going to suffer those freak injuries from just being rushed, you know, maybe an hour or two, too much, or being pushed into full contact too quickly. And then, you know, when the pads start hitting in week one, we don't have those preseason games to get that stuff out of the way. So it's going to be 100% right out of the gate. And that's going to be a problem all across the league. So
you see some sloppy football week one.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've already talked about it. And
yeah,
we talked about it, and we're either going to see, you know, some really low scoring games or some really high scoring games, because I mean the defenses might be all over the place, the offenses might be all over the place, but either way these guys got to stay healthy. You know, it's a weird time. It's a weird time to be a professional athlete, but you know they take care of their bodies, you know, a lot better than we do. So.
Oh, speak for yourself,
Pat. I would hope.
Your body is a temple, Pat. Come on.
You're not doing enough bicep curls, Pat.
It's a Ferrari. We don't put regular gas in a Ferrari. Okay.
Don't strip the clutch, man.
Here's the counterpoint that I want to kind of present in this situation too, because we do talk about the NFL players didn't get the normal offseason program that they're used to. I mean, they got a $1,500 stipend. I know we were talking about that before we even went on air here. Really, it's not enough. You can't really buy much equipment with that in the offseason. So you really have to help. But guys,
skyrocketed during the pandemic.
But we all know guys have found ways to get work in. AJ Boye, Drew Lock, they have private trainers and facilities they have the access to, which is great. I mean, it's great having that luxury there. But also, no preseason games. And I know how much we talked about really getting rid of preseason games is something that should be a goal for the NFL. I still think in a situation with just how the offseason was presented to players, maybe at least one or two is better than going against a full-on scrimmage against your own team, because then you do see a lot more incidents happen. But here's the challenge for the Broncos. Week one, guess who they get to play? Derrick Henry. And they had success against him last year, but he's still a big guy, and they may have some new wrinkles offensively the Broncos may not yet be aware of. And I think the Broncos have the same advantage too. They may have some new wrinkles that Tennessee might not be aware of. But overall, in terms of tackling, you know, he's a tough guy to tackle and bring down regardless. That, to me, I think for a defensive-minded coach, I can understand why there is some contact, but, you know, I do agree that it should be divvied up. You shouldn't have maybe consecutive days in a row of just full-on contact. And we did see them adjust one day because they had so many guys out with the soft tissue injuries. You know, so that, to me, I think is my counterpoint to the entire situation about contact. And I know, Mario, you and I were talking about this on the Twitter sphere as well. I'm eager to hear your thoughts. Do you believe that the NFL should have had at least one preseason game maybe to get these guys ready for week one? Because, look, now we're just 2 weeks away. There's no turning back now.
I think at least one would have been imperative. I had been pounding the drum for years saying that it should be two. Two is the ideal number. You have one game where you get your starters out just to knock the rust off, you know, kind of get out onto the field, experience the game in an actual game situation against guys who aren't wearing the same jersey as yours. Have them go for one or two series, and it'd be kind of a collective agreement that, you know, nobody's going 100% full bore. You know, you save that for the guys who are really fighting for a roster spot. And then that second game, it's all dudes who are on the bubble or maybe trying to make an impression for another team. And I think it's imperative. And one of the examples that I keep bringing up from last year, if we remember going into camp last season, who were the two receivers that everybody was talking about that weren't like solidified on the roster just during camp? Do we remember?
Juwan Winfrey was one. It was Winfrey, and was it number 13? Gosh, what was his name?
Exactly. That's exactly my point. So here's the thing. There were multiple guys who they had this reputation during camp. But then who was the guy that performed during the preseason games and he ended up kind of putting everybody else to shame? That was Fred Brown. Fred Brown came out of nowhere, and everybody's like, who's Fred Brown? Like, oh, we can call him Downtown Fred Brown because it rhymes. And he started making plays, and Fred Brown made that team because of the preseason games. And not only just for the players, man, but for media as well, for the play-by-play guys. Like, you don't think that they need to knock some rust off? Like, you don't think Booger McFarland has a lifetime of rust? He's one of those old cars that doesn't work anymore, that's in the middle of a field. Like, that's his level of rust. And I don't know if there's any amount of games that could help him knock the rust off, but I digress. You know what I'm saying. Everybody all around, like, you need to get into some sort of a groove. It's like, how are you going to handle things? Because it's really not just the players. It's everybody involved. But, you know, does a Fred Brown make the team last year? And he had a decent amount of playing time. He played special teams. I think he had a few catches when Juwan Winfrey was down. Does he make the team without preseason? Probably not. And I'm sure every team has a number of guys who make their active roster based on one or two preseason games.
Malik Reed, too. I mean, Malik Reed was a guy absolutely that we probably wouldn't have seen if he didn't have the four sacks in three games for the Broncos there. And look what kind of role he played for the Broncos last year. Now, he and Jeremiah Tauchu are going to be the backups to Chubb and Vaughn this season. So I think it really just goes to show that, you know, you can find these underrated guys that you have no idea about prior until preseason. So yeah, I do agree with that point. What they
some guys are gamers, right? Like you guys both know this. Yeah. You guys both play football. There are dudes who suck in practice, plain and simple.
Oh yeah,
because they can't get to that mental point that you need to be in order to be a good player. It's only when the lights are the brightest and everybody is watching that that switch finally flips and they become an absolute monster. Like, that was what we heard about Paxton Lynch, right? Like, you know, didn't really become that, even though he didn't really have a chance. Or like Tim Tebow, right? Tim Tebow was awful at practice. But when they took the reins off, the dude actually played a little bit.
It's crazy.
Bottom line is there are gamers.
About that. There are. And you see it all the time in the NFL. And you see the guys that are practice all-stars that don't do anything in the games as well. I mean, there's that double entendre there. But one thing I want to throw at you, Mario, is when we look at this Broncos team right now, there are a lot of question marks. We know Juwan James opted out. That created a little bit of a fluster storm amongst, you know, just fans alike because, you know, the precautions he's taken for him and his family. But the guy that's going to be replacing him this season, Elijah Wilkinson, and this is somebody that you've had a chance to work with and get to know, and really for him, you got to know that last year he was really thrust into that position, and I think you have a great insight as to why Broncos fans should take a little bit of a breath with Wilkinson being at right tackle now, because he's prepared this offseason for that position.
So here's the first thing I'm going to bring out about Eli is you're hearing a lot of negative stuff about how Von Miller's working him, right? Like on a relatively consistent basis. Isn't that what we should expect? Like if the report was that Elijah was completely shutting Von down, don't you think people would be a little bit more worried about that? It's like, I love Elijah. I think that he's going to be a very good right tackle. I think he's going to have a good year. I think he's going to get paid next season. But he's going up against like arguably the best edge rusher in the league right now, at least top three or top five. And like, yeah, he should be struggling with him. That's okay. And you don't think that he's learning a thing or two from Vaughn? Like, I've heard that Vaughn is the most, like, not only is he physically dominant, but he's heady. He's smart. Like, he's a smart rusher. He doesn't just overpower people. It's just not like raw athleticism. The guy knows what he's doing and he understands his position at a level that no one else in the league currently probably does. And you don't think that he's given Elijah a little bit of insight? It's like, look, when you have a speed rusher, this is what you're going to do. You look for this, you look for that. If the guy's doing a spin or if he's bull rushing you, whatever it is, it's not a big deal to me that he's getting, quote unquote, dominated by Von Miller, because Von Miller does that to everybody. That's not really that big of a deal. And second off, I understand that people were disappointed and kind of what we saw from Juwan James, albeit it was a very small sample size. People tend to like it. But if you look back at what Elijah did last season, it was almost like he played better against the studs and then struggled more against the duds, if you will. So if you look back at that Chicago Bears game, the one sack that Khalil Mack had was because he was one-on-one with Noah Fant. Elijah Wilkinson that entire time shut Khalil Mack down. And if I remember correctly, like, I know he didn't give up a sack and maybe gave up one or two pressures against Joey Bosa twice. Shut Joey Bosa out. Bosa did not get a sack against him. So when he's playing the top competition, he's proved that he can get the job done. And I think another thing that people forget about is during that whole preseason, he was playing every single position but center. He was getting equal reps. Actually, he was getting more reps at left tackle because they wanted him to be Garrett's backup. And he was getting some at guard to be – I mean, he was a swing man. He was going to play any position depending on if there was an injury. There was an injury right tackle. And that's where he went. So now he's had basically this entire offseason, ever since James has announced that he opted out, it's like, all right, next man up, and it's Eli. So you went from competing with Garrett Bowles to left tackle to now for what, the last 2 months or whatever it's been, his focus has been completely on right tackle, which is a luxury that he didn't have last season. He didn't realize that he had to play right tackle last season until the season started. So he's already got a month up on what he was last year.
And Broncos Country, we're going to continue our conversation here with Mario and Patrick coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys to check out the Lockdown Nuggets podcast. The Nuggets and the Jazz did battle in Game 7 last night. Did the Nuggets advance to the next round of the playoffs? Did they complete the comeback being down 3-1? Are they the 12th team in NBA history to come back from a 3-1 deficit and win? Check out the Lockdown Nuggets podcast hosted by Adam Mattis and Matt Moore to find out their fate.
Yeah, that was his first time playing right tackle in football, and it's not the easiest position to learn. You know, people just think that you can plug these guys just because they're an offensive lineman.
They think it's Madden. You can just put a lineman anywhere.
No, it does not work like that. You know, all these guys are calling for, you know, Dalton Risner to go play left tackle. And it's like that. It does not work like that. Just because he played tackle once.
Let's take a borderline all-pro guy and move positions. That's really smart, you dummy.
For Wilkinson to be going up against Vaughn, like you said, it's the best case scenario for Wilkinson. Going up against a guy like Vaughn, who's so seasoned, who's got, who's been taught by guys like DeMarcus Ware, who has all these different counter moves and power rush moves, speed rush moves. I mean,
everything. This
is the perfect guy that you want to learn how to play right tackle, because this is the guy who has mastered the art of abusing right tackles as his career. He won a Super Bowl MVP on it. Let him teach Elijah Wilkinson a thing or two. Bringing in DeMar Dotson, not that big of a deal, but Wilkinson has that fair share now.
He's a security blanket.
Yeah, right. Wilkinson has that share now. He's has that experience. He's got that season under his belt. He knows what to look for now. He's had an entire offseason to prepare as the right tackle. And I think that this is going to be a great year for him. I think that you're right. He's going to get paid next season. But going up against Vaughn, people shouldn't be worried about that. The iron sharpens iron, right?
People would be more worried if the report from camp was, man, Elijah Wilkinson is really shutting down Vaughn, because then people would be in hysterics. Like, people are already going to overreact to stuff. Yeah, I'd be a little bit concerned, too. It's like, nobody should be shutting down Vaughn.
Considering that people were overreacting to Vaughn's, 8.5 sacks last season and said that he was on the downfall and it was time to get rid of him, ridiculous. People will overreact at anything. But
they're filthy casuals.
Nothing. Film doesn't lie.
Filthy casuals.
Film doesn't lie. Von Miller is still the perfect guy that you want to teach your offensive lineman things. It's funny that we sit here and we talk about, you know, it would be like Cortland Sutton going out there and teaching AJ Boye how to be a cornerback, you know, but it's certain things that, you know, that a receiver does that a corner needs to know. It's certain things that a corner does that a receiver needs to know. So with Wilkinson, it's only going to get him better. This is his second year starting as a right tackle. I think it's going to be awesome.
He's 25 and DeMar Dotson is turning 36. As Mario mentioned, he's a security blanket. I think right now the Broncos are actually in a better position on the offensive line than most people think. When you consider Garrett Bowles, who really this is an audition year for him, he's having a pretty good camp so far. Calvin Anderson's demonstrating some praise behind him as well. He's a potential swing guy, potentially the future. But then you have, you know, a guy like Graham Glasgow, who's come in, has been a great leader for the Broncos inside that that locker room at that position room. And then Dalton Risner, who I don't, you know, we heard him speak in his post-practice presser yesterday. He is a guy that is a transformational leader. I mean, he's the type of guy you want in that locker room. And I think the Broncos really got the best of that trade. I'm telling you, if you got Noah Fant, Dalton Risner, Drew Lock, and the Steelers get Devin Bush, I think the Broncos came away ahead of that. I think that Steelers got a great player, developmental guy for the future.
That included Cushenberry, right?
Yes, and it really did. And so you take that four-player swing right there, I will take that, because the Broncos are building with four rather than just building with one, who I think, Devin Bush could be a guy that maybe excelled in the Broncos defense, but look at what the Broncos are getting in return with these four other guys. So those are things that I'm excited about. But Mario, another thing I wanted to talk to you about, let's talk about the secondary here. There's a couple guys, Ike Diesel, Isaac, a guy you work with quite often in terms of keeping his body right. And also, really going through with Justin Simmons, who's become just this pillar for this Broncos football team. I think when you look at
it, you believe that dude hasn't missed a snap since 2017, man. Whoever's working on that guy, they need a raise.
Hey, that guy should get a pay raise there. But yeah, I think the ultimate endorsement too. Hey, Justin Simmons, you guys can't see this right now if you're listening to this podcast, but Mario, Patrick, and I, we have the Vitanzi Therapy camo hoodies on, and we're representing. It's going to be on social media. We'll post the picture for you. But if you want one, hit up my man Mario at Mile High Mario.
I mean, if you didn't get one, you're not elite, plain and simple. Yeah.
We're in a very special club, because I remember it was very limited. There was a certain time frame people had to get their orders in. So, if you're in it, you are in an elite club for life. But talking about the secondary, let's talk about Isaac Adams having a good camp for the Broncos. in line for the Broncos' number three cornerback spot, and there's a chance he could start for them. We'll find out because the depth chart is going to project to release on September 4th, which is this Friday. So it's unofficial, but that's going to be expected. And obviously, you know, talk about working with Justin because you've been able to talk with him through this whole process about what's going on with the franchise tag. And obviously him speaking up as a voice for the community and a voice for the world, especially considering what's going on. And that's one thing I just absolutely love about Simmons. So let's hear from you on those two guys.
I'm going to put my Cody Rourke glasses on for this one. Let me got to get into the right mindset here. Here we go. If I look smarter now, for those of you watching at home, man, I'm getting a really bad glare. Okay, anyway, no, that's not going to work. With the secondary, I've been trying to get some sort of sense or semblance of who's going to be that number three guy. You know, I'm trying to low-key pump dudes for information. And as far as I can tell, man, it's kind of a toss-up. And like I had mentioned earlier, I honestly can't remember if this was live or we were discussing it, so I'm going to go ahead and say it again. They might just go with the hot hand. It's obviously going to be AJ Boye, who, by the way, looks fantastic. He seems like all he needed was a change of scenery. He seems like all he needed was to get out of Jacksonville. Shocker, right? And then Bryce Callahan is, of course, dominating. And to anybody who's familiar with this show, Cody, because I know that I said it months ago, like repeatedly, is like when Bryce Callahan comes back, and he will, that he's going to be fantastic. And he has been nothing short of fantastic for this entire camp. So Bryce Callahan is out there dominating it. So it's between Michael Ojemudia, it's between Duke Dawson, Isaac Yiadom, and Devontae Harris. And I think that this is a very good problem to have. Like, it's not really a problem, right? That you basically have four dudes readily competing to be the number three corner. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have a number three corner and they're all competing. It means that they have several number three corners. And whoever, like I said, whoever's a hot hand that given game, like if Isaac Yiadom's in the zone, Ike's going to be the number three corner. If it's a matchup that favors Duke Dawson more or Devontae Harris more, then they're going to be put into the rotation. Now, if I'm being completely unbiased, I would be surprised if by like midseason, that Michael Ojemudia wouldn't be the starter simply because he is their rookie third round pick. And if he makes the progress that they're hoping that he does, and he's a perfect fit for this Fangio defense because he's such a great tackler, I could see him working into that role. And honestly, I talked to Albright when I was on his show a few weeks ago, and he had actually discussed the thought that eventually Michael Ojemudia could be moved to safety once Kareem Jackson is gone, whether it's this year or next year, because the dude played linebacker in high school. And then he ended up playing corner at Iowa because they didn't have corners. So you talk about a guy that's versatile. He's going to be on the field. And I guess the thing that I want to clear up is corners, right? It depends completely on the defense that they're going to run. They're going to have nickel situation, dime situation. And the thing to keep in mind is that all these dudes can tackle. Except, like, I think AJ Boye might be the only one that's kind of suspect, but that also could have been a result of everything going on in Jacksonville that he didn't want to be there. And then we shift to the safeties. I mean, yeah, dude, what can you say about Justin Simmons that hasn't already been said? Plain and simple, the guy's a hero. He's a hero to me, to you, to the guy that tells him to stick to football, whether that dude realizes it or not. Like, Justin is taking his platform and he is doing everything and then some with it. I mean, you talk about a guy, and we've said this on the show, Cody, a guy that does absolutely every single solitary thing right. He does everything that you ask him. He does it well. He does it with a smile on his face. And it's somehow not enough. I mean, to an extent, like, I understood why they weren't resigning him. It's like, okay, well, it's a COVID thing. It's a toss up. But they're penny rich, dollar poor right now, man, because in this system, Justin is only going to thrive. So let's say he has a very similar year to what he had last year, especially now that you let Buda Baker get paid as the highest paid safety. That dude can't carry Justin's jockstrap on his best day. And you want to try and tell me that Justin's not going to get paid more than Buda Baker, who has zero career interceptions? F-O-H. It's not going to happen. But you know what? Regardless, Justin's going to get paid by somebody, and hopefully it's the Broncos, because I will say this right now, boys. If they let Justin Simmons walk and they do not keep him here for the entirety of his career, it will absolutely be the biggest blunder that John Elway has ever made, period. And the reason why I say that, like, I get it. He drafted Paxton Lynch. I know that's not very good. He wasn't a great drafter early on. Nobody knows about drafting. It's a toss-up. In this situation, you know exactly what you have in Justin Simmons. Not just a dude that gets it done on the field week in, week out, but a dude that absolutely gets it done off the field, which to a franchise where we're at right now and things going on should be more important. Pay the man.
Yeah, I think there's going to be riots if he's let to walk to another team. I just can't see that happening. As far as the corners go, I think that it's great to hear that now we're having this deeper competition, because at the start of camp, it was more of like a, you know, the top two guys are really good, but can we trust the rest of the depth? So it's good to hear from Coach Vic that, you know, Devontae Harris is showing great improvement week by week, you know, that Bryce Callahan is healthy, that Bosby's back and he's playing well.
Shoot,
that,
I forgot about Bosby.
Yeah. That Michael Ojemudia is exactly what they wanted. So it's great to hear that now we're not just going to have a good one and two and probably a really good three, but we might have a really good four and five to add into that. And that is really reassuring to me, because that's one of the biggest question marks that we still have, is that cornerback depth. Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons, easily the best safety duo in the league. No one's going to tell me otherwise.
And don't let them tell you otherwise, Pat. If somebody argues with you, smack him.
And I won't, because what Justin Simmons has been able to do as far as improving every year and then going into a new defensive scheme, he balled out last year. I think there was only one of the top safeties in the league that had a better missed tackling percentage than him, and it was Jamal Adams. No one else had none of the top safeties in the NFL had a missed tackle percentage less than 10%, except for Justin Simmons and Jamal Adams.
And really, to that point, Pat, and Jamal Adams, nothing, not to take away anything from him, but the dude's playing in the box. He's not making open field tackles the way that Justin Simmons is.
Exactly. And for Justin Simmons to be that kind of, that he can play the center field role, he can play down in the box. We saw, I mean, he made some really great tackle, the one against the Browns that I was there for, and then a key tackle against the Chargers late in that game that really helped seal the win. This is a guy that you cannot let leave. Kareem Jackson, I mean, I'm really excited to see a full season of him as the strong safety, because we did see him in that corner role early on last year, and then he transitioned over. But he's probably one of my favorite players to watch on this defense, just flying around with absolutely no regard for human life. It's great to see. This secondary is going to be something special. If the cornerbacks can click and you know, Callahan's back healthy and they can get that other cornerback position slotted up, I think this is going to be a really, really dangerous secondary. It already was, but it's going to be even more dangerous. Losing Chris Harris is awful for, you know, Broncos fans, and that's fine. We wish him the best in Los Angeles. But getting AJ Boye, drafting Michael Ojemudia, having the depth that we have now, it's going to be a really good 2020.
Do I look as smart as Cody?
A little bit.
These aren't prescription.
Those of you that can't see the video, Mario's got on these glasses that, you know, I think are definitely not his. But with that said, too, I think the overall Simmons is great. And the one thing that stands out to me, and, you know, Mario, you know this too, because you've got to spend time with Justin and his family. I've had the chance of interacting with Justin and his family as well. His wife is super supportive, and his mom, his whole family is just amazing people. And you can see where Justin really gets it. He's got the greatest support cast around him. And in terms of the football field, just the type of guy that he is, he's the guy that Vic Fangio trusts to call the defense, to get guys aligned correctly, to audible when a team comes out in a formation and then changes it. Like the way that the Chiefs do. If you ever watch the Chiefs games against Denver, go back to last year and watch how often the Chiefs would come out in one formation and then they would move four to five guys to a different formation. Simmons is the guy that's
really
responsible for adjusting that.
Crap, Cody. Come on.
I know, bro. I know it's difficult. But Simmons was a bright spot against Kansas City. And the fact that Patrick Mahomes even said that one of the toughest guys for him to go against, not only Von Miller, but Justin Simmons, he says is one of the toughest players he goes against. I think that right there is worthy of a contract extension. But Broncos country, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Lockdown Broncos. Mario Vitanzi joining us as always. And once the season starts, we're going to get Mario on the train a lot more often. And if you're in the Denver area, be sure to check out Omni Chiropractic as well. Mario, tell them where they can find you, because if they want to get the healing hands of Mario Vitanzi and the amazing staff that you have over there, Omni Chiropractic, how can they get in contact with you and your office and great staff that you have there?
You can hit up our phone, 303-693-2225. If you need help remembering that, it's 303-693-BACK, B-A-C-K. How convenient is that? You can also hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at MileHighMario. I have a Facebook, but I hate Facebook, so I don't go on it. So do not add me on Facebook.
That's like the best plug I've ever heard, because Facebook is very, very crazy.
It's for old boomers who just want to be mad at stuff.
I love it. Check the comment section of any kind of sports.
No, don't do that. It'll make you really mad and you'll stay up all night.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've typed out a response and had to delete it because I'm a public figure. I can't do that. But anyways, with that said, I need to get my mental health healed. And Mario, hopefully there's something that you could do that. But check it out.
You want to drive down on Saturday to play some football?
You know what? I may have to fly. I may fly out there. It might be more convenient.
Pat, what about you? What about you, Pat?
Hey, you get that flight for me. Hey, I grew up spending my summers in Colorado, so my lungs are used to that altitude, baby. So I'm good to go.
Hey, you
just
know what?
Get me out there.
I gotta get
the heat race on. Start running around, and then it hits you a little bit.
Hey, I've been running on those trails for a long time up in the mountains, man. So I'm good to go.
With that said, Broncos country, we'll be back tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show. The roster cuts will happen this weekend, and we're going to project the offensive cuts. We're going to project the defensive cuts, and we're going to project the final 53-man roster on the coming days ahead here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast.